thank you for this day, and we thank you that we can come and study your word together. And Lord, we're looking to you today for help. God, I believe that you've laid this topic on my heart this morning, and it's one that you have been working in my life about. And I believe it's something that will be a help to all of us. And I pray that you'd help me to be clear, and that the truth would be clear, that we can apply it and learn it, and that it would change our lives. We do pray for these special needs. Continue to pray for Clifford as he's struggling there at the hospital. Had some difficulty this morning. We pray that you would intervene in his life. Think of Eric Woodard, Lord, as he'll be moving to Georgia for rehab, and pray that he would continue to regain movement and be able to walk again. And Lord, just work in his life. And think of folks in our class that are going through some testing now and some physical problems. And be with Lori as she has some tests. And Pam Pruder, she's awaiting test results. Do think of Joyce Casey, had a minor heart attack. We pray that you would help her there in the hospital. For Linda and Brenda's dad, and has an infection there, Mr. Curtis. Lord, ask you to minister these for Brother Abbott there, Zane Abbott, missionary in Japan. Lord, pray you do a work there. And for Nick, as this growth has come up on his tongue, and there's some concern there, we pray that you'd give the doctors wisdom. And Lord, God, you could even take it away if you wanted to. And Lord, we just pray you really help folks today and minister to them, and do a work in hearts and lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to have you help me read some scripture. If you would be willing to do that, if you'll raise your hand, I'll give you a passage, and you just kind of remember it. Exodus 23 through 6. Exodus 23 through 6. Exodus 34, 14. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. Psalm 22, 27. Psalm 72, 11. Who else can read? Todd, thank you for volunteering. I saw you were about to do that. Psalm 81, 9. Psalm 81, 9. Yeah, that's Psalm 81, 9. Psalm 86, 9 for you, Bill. Got a couple more here. Psalm 95, 6. Who else? A couple more. Psalm 99, 5. Matthew 4, 9 and 10. And then one long passage for somebody who can really read. Scared you all off, didn't I? Actually, I've got three more. Come on, be brave. All right, John 4, 19 through 24. All right, two more. All right, Steve, Revelation 4, 10 and 11. And one more. Okay, all right, Tom's back there. Revelation 22, 9. Okay, that's it. Just find those, I'll get to you after a while. I'm reading a book right now about biblical worship in the church. This is dealing with corporate worship when we come together as a body of Christ. And in this book, he talks about the worship wars. Now, in that context, what he's talking about is the war between the contemporary movement and the traditional movement in the church. And this move to leisurely worship and wild contemporary music, or even rock music, or whatever these things are. I was talking to Calvin Lashley when he was here, and they visited a church in Pueblo, or where they're living, and he said, we got in there, and he said it was just a rock band playing regular rock music. I mean, he told me the title, I don't remember what it was, and he said, you know, that's supposed to get you in the spirit. And I thought, what spirit? Yeah, it wouldn't get me in the spirit, that's for sure. It'd get me mad is what it would do. That'd give me the spirit. But this, now folks, we are losing the worship war in the church. Just about everybody is going to the contemporary direction. Now, I'm not going to talk about that today. I probably will touch on that later on, because I think the worship war didn't just start when contemporary music came on the scene. The worship war started thousands of years ago when Satan or Lucifer rebelled against God and said, I'm not going to worship you. In fact, I want everyone to worship me instead of you. Now, folks, when Satan rebelled against God, the worship war began, and it's going on today, right now in your life. And it's not taking place necessarily over in the auditorium. It's taking place in your life, in my life, every day and every moment. And so I want to take a couple weeks here. I'm going to leave Colossians just for a little bit and talk to you about the worship war. Now, I'm going to explain this more to you, but what you worship will determine what you are and what you do. Okay? Now, it is crucial that we as believers learn to worship God. Now, again, I'm not talking about over here, although that's part of it. That's when we get together to worship. I'm talking about individual worship in your life. And I'm really not even talking necessarily about your devotional time, although that's where it starts. What I worship, what is number one in my life, is going to control what I do and what I say and what I think. It's going to control my life. And again, we'll explain that more as we go along. Now, I want to start this morning by looking at the priority of worship. The priority of worship. And I want you to turn to Genesis 18. Man, you hold those passages. We're going to get to you here in a minute. Genesis 18, verses 1 and 2. Now, I hope you're awake this morning and being thoughtful, because this may be some new stuff to you, but this is really important. Genesis 18, 1 and 2. Now, the reason I've had you turn to this passage is because this is the first usage in the Bible of the word that is translated worship throughout the Old Testament. The word is used 166 times. It is not translated worship here, but you can tell what it is. Let me read those and you tell me what the word is. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. This is Abraham. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, the word worship in the English is not there, but it is there in the original. What word is it translated in your Bible? He bowed. He bowed. And that really gives you the idea of worship right off the bat. What is it that you bow down to? What is it that you prostrate yourself to, you have reverence for? What is that thing that has supreme importance in your life? Okay? Now, turn to Genesis 22. This is the first instance of the word worship in your King James Version. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 5. Genesis 22, this is where Abraham was called to sacrifice Isaac. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood from the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. Now here it is. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, God is testing Abraham. What does he want to find out about Abraham in this test? Who do you love the most? Now, remember, Isaac was the promised seed. All of God's promises that he'd given to Abraham depended upon the survival of Isaac. And you can imagine how Abraham felt about Isaac. We got to, Sarah was here this week, and Lily was with her. It was kind of funny. We got to the airport to pick him up. And, you know, usually you go to Sarah and you hug her. And, oh, it's so good to see you. We all ran to Lily. Oh, Lily, so good to see you. Sarah standing over by herself, you know. Hello. But I cannot imagine what it would be like for someone to say to me as a grandfather, hey, take your first grandchild and sacrifice her. Now, we're going to learn a whole lot about Abraham, aren't we? Who did he worship? Who was supreme in his life? Isaac or God? Now, By the way, you may face a test like this. Your child gets called to the mission field. Who do you worship? God or your child? Bob's son right now is in Romania. Now, he's excited about that because what God has done in his life, but I'm sure there's some trepidation. Who do you worship? Now, we know that Abraham passed the test with flying colors, didn't he? He did. And God provided a lamb. What a great picture. What a great story. But folks, this is the essence of worship. What is supreme in your life? What's number one? And Abraham showed that in his life, God was supreme, not Isaac. All right? Now, there are many other passages in the Word of God. And man, I'm going to have you read these. And I just want you to listen and see the priority of worship in the Old Testament. All right? Exodus 23 through 6. Who has it? Men, I'd like you to stand and speak out good and loud. Good. Now, what is this passage taken out of? What's the context? Ten Commandments. And this is which one? Number one. All right? Number one. And what did we learn about worship in this passage? Help me here. What did we learn? You worship God. Surely it's okay to worship God and something else, you know, as long as they're equal, right? God said, if your worship in your life, I need to be number one. Number one. He is a jealous God. And he said, look, you don't bow down yourself to anything else. And notice the connection. He said, don't bow down and serve them. Do you see the connection, folks? What you worship is what you're going to serve. Okay? What's that? That's exactly right. And he didn't serve them either. He served God. All right, good. Let's Exodus 34:14. Let's see. I got two of you. Read it in unison.
For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God.
All right. Again, who do we worship, folks? God. Nobody else. Isn't it strange to hear God being described as jealous? God, folks, God demands your worship. Okay? Who's God? Yes, sir. Sure.
We have peers. God has no peers.
Yeah, that's the truth. Good. Amen. Amen.
Attributes that would be bad for us are totally righteous.
Amen. Good. Good. Who's got 1 Chronicles 16:29? We may have lost that one in the mix.
I've got it.
You've got it. Okay, Larry. Let's see. You got 1 Chronicles 16:29?
I've got 15:29.
That was close.
Sure.
I told you we lost that one. 16:29.
Let me try that one again.
Good.
It's even underlined in my Bible.
Good.
Give unto the Lord the glory to do it in his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Good. Give unto the Lord the glory, and Jim, you mentioned this, do unto his name. He deserves it. He is worthy of it. Good. Psalm 22:27. Did we lose that one somewhere? Psalm 22, 20, I'll read it. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the kindreds of the earth shall worship before Him. All right, how many does God want to worship Him?
Everybody.
All right, who's got Psalm 82, 9? 81, 9, excuse me, 81, 9. And I think I skipped 72:11. Psalm 72:11.
Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him.
Again, do you see? Fall down, that's to worship and serve. There's a connection. Psalm 86:9. Have I had that read? I've gotten out of order here. Okay, Bill.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, who shall glorify thy name.
Good. Psalm 95:6. Let's see. Is that Psalm 95:6?
Psalm 95:6.
I gave you the wrong reference then. We're on a roll here. Let me read the verse that I wanted you to put. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Somebody check which Bible he's using over there. Psalm 99:5. Yes, sir. Sorry about that. Amen. Matthew 4, 9, and 10.
Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
Remember I talked about the worship war that started? What's going on in Matthew chapter 4, folks? Still going on. Still going on. By the way, what's going on in July the 15th, 2012? It's still going on. And Satan is still trying to get you to worship everything but God. Okay? Good. Now, I want you to turn to John 4. Jim's going to read it for us here, or James, whatever you prefer. John chapter 4. This is the primary New Testament passage on worship. John 4, 19 through 24. Hang on just a second, Jim, until they find it. And I want you to follow along as he reads it. This is the story of the woman at the well. Okay? Go ahead, sir. Good. Now, you learned some great things from that passage. We're going to take that passage apart in the future. But notice, in verse 23 and 24, does God want your worship? Look, it says, God, the Father, seeketh such to worship Him. God wants our worship, folks, and He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, it's very interesting here. We'll get back to this later on. But what was her problem? Of course, as far as the place to... What was her focus on? Where to worship. And by the way, that happens to us too. We think of worship as in a place. We worship on Sunday mornings at the worship service, you know? And no. He said, look, that's not important. The place is not important. The way you do it is important, and that is you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we'll camp there for a while later on, but I just want to make that point. Okay, we've got two more. Revelation 4, 10 and 11.
I'm going to take a little liberty here. Revelation chapter 4 is the great celebration in heaven of God as creator. And I'll read 9 through 11. And those beasts were all herbs and all the creation give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever. The four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5 goes into the great celebration of God as Redeemer, not just Creator. And you get the same thing there, verse 9, and they sung a new song. This is the song of redemption. It just got through singing the song of creation. Now they move into the song of redemption. Thou worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou was slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hast made it us our God, hast made us unto our God kings and priests. That's us, kings and priests.
Amen.
We shall reign on the earth, and I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. By the way, 10,000 times 10,000 was 100 million. Saying the loud voice, worthy of worship. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing every creature. We heard a moment ago about all nations shall bow down before God. Here it is.
Yep.
Every creature which is in heaven, earth, under the earth, such as in the sea, and all that are in them, is heard by saying, Blessing, honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen.
Amen.
And the four and the 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Kind of hard to see how it is that I am so important that I
need
not worship nor serve.
Good. All right, we've got Revelation 22:9 here at the end of the Bible. Who's got that? All right, Tom. Yeah, listen to those last, isn't that clear? The last two words. There it is. Worship God. Okay? Now, you see the priority of worship. There's the record. Now, why is it so important? Now, I want to stop and just take a minute. I'm letting you do a lot this morning. Okay? Having said that, what is worship? Let's try to define it here. Let's nail it down. Give me some ideas. Okay? Just one sentence or two. Respect.
Recognizing that he's worthy.
Okay.
Singing.
Singing is a way to worship. What else?
Recognizing he's our creator.
Okay. We worship him because he created us, as Steve mentioned also in Revelation 5, because he redeemed us. What else?
Giving him honor and glory.
Praise.
Service.
Gratitude. Okay, these are all good. Let me give you a couple of definitions I've got, and then I'll kind of round them up a little bit. Of course, we know it comes from the word worth-ship. Something is worthy, and therefore we worship it. Something has an elevated position because of its worth. Okay, couple definitions. Listen carefully. A proper recognition and celebration of God, returning to him the glory that he alone deserves, and honoring him with our lives and our words. Did you get that? Let me give you one more. I'm going to read it twice. Direct acknowledgement of God, of his nature, attributes, ways, and claims, whether by the outgoing of the heart in praise and thanksgiving, or in deeds done in such acknowledgement. Okay? Now, there are two things I think that are in all of these. One is a worthy object, person or thing, all right? Something that has worth, because it is special, because it is unique. And because of that worth, then it causes us to worship, causes us to bow down to it and to serve it. Okay? Does that make sense to you? You with me so far? Now, let's make some application. All right? Let's use some illustrations here. If you worship a person, okay? You worship that person because that person has worth, has some unique quality or ability or wisdom or something like that that you think can meet your needs, and you display that worship by doing what? If you worship a person, how do you display your worship for them? What's the first thing you probably do? You talk about them. Yeah, you talk about them. What else do you do? If they were to tell you to do something, what would you do? You would do it. Because you have great respect for them, because there's great worth in them because of their uniqueness. Now, a simple matter of fact is, in July the 12th, 15th, 2012, we have a lot of different things that people worship. Okay? Help me out here. Give me some ideas. What are some things, now, this is not yourself, okay, but things that other people worship. This is not confession, you know, I'm not going to forgive you or anything. Football. Or what did you say? That's right. Yeah. It's always interesting what the women say, what the men say. Now, sports is undoubtedly, I mean, here's a guy this week, Drew Brees, that has signed in 5 years to make $100 million. Now, something's wrong in America, sports fans. Okay. All right. Undoubtedly, sports is worship today. We don't go to church. Why? Oh, I got to go see the ball game. My kids got ball practice. What happened today when they didn't practice on Sunday and Wednesday night? That's gone. Sunday night. Sure, you got ball games now Sundays too.
Yes. They postponed them from yesterday, the Appalachian League baseball games. We went ahead tonight.
Good. What time does that start? See if I can make it. Oh, sports. What else? I think I heard someone say money. Sure. What else? Hollywood?
Prestige?
Power?
Themselves.
What is a prime example? You know, an atheist said they don't believe in worship, they don't believe in God, but an atheist worships. And they do exactly what you said, they worship themselves. They bow down at the altar of self. That's exactly right. What else did I have written down? Popularity, pleasure. People worship pleasure. That is their main pursuit. You see, they think all of these things have special value that will meet their needs. There are people today that if they just had a little more money, they'd have all their problems solved. And they get a little more money, what happens? Well, if I just had a little more money, yeah, they got more problems too. That's exactly right. If I just had a little more money. And they're bowing down, they're worshiping at the altar of money, and everything they do is determined by money. If I have to lie, doesn't matter, as long as I get money. If I have to steal, if I have to cheat, if I have to be immoral to get it, it doesn't matter because money is the supreme thing. And their worship of money, make all their decisions are based on that. And I'll just be honest, folks, we've got to be careful with the same thing. We have people say, well, I'm moving to take this job where I can make more money. Is there a good church there? Well, I don't know. What's the determining factor? What are they worshiping? Money. By the way, if you're getting ready to move, I'm not preaching to you. I don't know if anybody is, but you give illustrations, you get in all kinds of trouble. People worship pleasure. And again, why would a man who is married and has children step out over here and commit adultery with another woman? Why would a Christian man, why would a pastor of a church? Because their God is pleasure. And now all their decision making is not based on what pleases God, but it's what gets me more pleasure. Now, folks, the reason that this needs to be a priority, folks, because it identifies, and I mentioned this in the introduction, it identifies what we think is the most important thing in our life. What is that thing we will sacrifice for to get or to do? Folks, that has become our God. That is the thing we are worshiping. If it's number one. We got problems. We've already mentioned sports, and I'll be glad to mention fishing and hunting, neither of which I do. Golf. Golf cannot be a God. It's no way. It's possible. For you women, shopping, and now there we go. Shopping and clothes and vacations, job. Many people, their job is their God. Their job is their God. And what a foolish thing to trust in. And you turn around one day, you go to work, and they say, oh, by the way, we don't need you anymore. We're going to have a policeman escort you out. And we sacrifice everything for that job. Every decision we make is the job. Is the job. Is the job. Boy, there's a lot of things.
Illustration of how this fist gives a well. The word of God says, with their lips they worship me, with their heart.
Sure.
So now, what we're missing is heart.
Sure.
Now, he goes on to say, at other places, for where your treasure is, there will your heart.
Yeah.
So you trace it all the way back to what we treasure.
Sure. Yeah. And let me ask you just, now, this will convict all of us. What is the thing you think about the most? What is the thing you talk about the most? What is that thing that just consumes you? Okay. Now, what does God want you to do? Worship God. Worship Him. And the simple matter of fact is, folks, the thing we ought to talk about the most is the Lord. The thing we ought to think about ought to be the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the Lord. The thing that ought to determine what we do and why we do and what we do, folks, is God. That is proper worship. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time this morning, which is just a few minutes, on talking about the aftermath of false worship. What happens in people's lives when they choose to take God off the throne and put something else on the throne? Now, we go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Why did Eve sin? Well, because she said they were getting ripped off, and I need this knowledge. I want to be like God. And she was worshiping what she could get from that tree was more important to her than obeying God. And folks, it's been going on ever since. When Cain was called to worship, what was his problem? He decided to worship his way, not God's way. There is a proper way to worship. We're going to cover all that later on. Cain said, no, I think I'm going to offer what I've produced. So that's the important thing. I'm going to do it my way. Boy, what an amazing story. Turn to Numbers chapter 32. Now, in our illustrations, we're talking about sometimes individual worship, sometimes corporate worship. We're kind of throwing them all together. I know they are different, but we're for illustrative purposes. You come to Numbers 32. And they are up on the mountain, or Moses is. And what's he doing up on the mountain? God is giving him what? And the first commandment is, worship God. Okay, so while he's up on the mountain, and God's giving him all the rules about the tabernacle and the priesthood and all this stuff for proper worship, what are they doing at the foot of the mountain? Wow, isn't that amazing? They built an idol out of golden calf, and they say, these are the gods that delivered you out of Egypt, and they're worshiping in a very false worship. By the way, it's the world's worship. It's interesting in that passage. There's crazy music going on, and they've all taken their clothes off. Typical church today, isn't it? Hardly wearing the church, and they've got worldly music. This could be the first contemporary Christian service right here, folks, right here. The base of the mountain. That's a little bit of a stretch, I know that. But God, but he comes down off the mountain, and God's, I mean, isn't it amazing, folks? Here it is. I mean, God is telling them, worship me, worship me. And even while that's going on, false worship is entering into the camp, and all kinds of terrible things are going on. And folks, for sake of time, I've had to turn there. I'm not going to read that. I just told you the story. But as they enter into the land, God says in 2 Chronicles 7:22, because thou forsook the Lord God of thy fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. You see the connection again? Worship them, serve them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Folks, anytime you choose to worship something other than God, you're in big trouble. And there are terrible consequences. And I tell you what, for sake of time, I'm going to skip a bunch and go right to Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1. And this is the process when people do not worship God. When you get to Romans chapter 1, God said, look, I have revealed myself to you. How did God do that? Through what? Creation and? What's the other one? In the passage. Through conscience. Okay, through conscience and creation, God has revealed himself to mankind. So God, mankind can know God. So what do they do in verse 21? Because that when they knew God, all right, God revealed himself to them, they knew God, they glorified him not as God, they didn't worship him, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So this is what happens, folks, when you don't worship God. Now what happened? What did God do to punish them? This is amazing. What did he do to punish them? He gave them up to a reprobate mind. He just turned them over to their natural ways, their natural sins. And that's their punishment. And you go on this passage, and there's all kinds of wickedness and vile behavior. Why is it in existence today, folks? Because they won't worship God. You don't worship God, God turns you over, and you are consumed by those things you worship. Now, we've got 1 minute. What are you worshiping today? What is supreme in your life? What are you serving today? What is your, as Steve said, what is your treasure? I mean, if you had to go home today and take out a piece of paper and a pen and write it down, what is your God? Or what are your gods? Now, folks, none of those things will satisfy. None of those things will meet your needs. They will all fail you. As I've been studying and thinking about this last couple of weeks, there's been several times that I've made decisions and said, oh, my, I don't want that to rule in my life. I don't want to serve that. See, that's where this comes to play in your life, folks. And we're making decisions about either sin or direction or time or whatever or tie or money. What are you worshiping? What is controlling your decision? Now, God said, the very first commandment, folks, worship me. Make me supreme in your life. Make me the one that you look to for decisions. Make me the one that you want to please. Now, this week, today, hallelujah, right now, you're making decisions about what you're going to, who or what you're going to serve, what you're going to obey. And the devil and the flesh and the world is after you and wants to control you and wants you to worship everything but God. And we see shipwreck after shipwreck after shipwreck after shipwreck and ruined lives and wasted lives. Folks, worship God. Worship God. Make Him supreme. Serve Him. When you have a decision to make today between good and evil, right and wrong, worship God. See, what you decide is going to show us who or what you're worshiping. And the same with me. Do you see how important this is, folks? Do you see why this is the first commandment? Because everything else rises and falls on it. Everything else. Every decision you make, everything you do, rises on who's your God. Who's your God? Who is supreme? Who is ruling? Who are you serving? Now we'll spend some more time in John chapter 4 next time we're together with this, okay? Lord, this is a powerful thought that we need to understand. And God, help us to realize that we indeed are worshiping someone or something. Something is supreme, and we're serving it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as believers to be able to properly ascertain what we're serving. And I pray you'd help us to worship you because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.